How many of them can we get them? What is that revenue stream? We should be a drop in the bucket. You know, we should be, you know, 10% of that so that we're a no-brainer.
Conquer Local.
It's really a breath of fresh air. Good times.
I help leaders go from anxiety to authority under pressure.
And then let's go and get it.
It's an ecosystem.
The hardest part here is going to be getting me to shut up on this one.
Conquer Local with Vendasta, hosted by Jeff Tomlin.
Welcome to the Conquer Local podcast. Our show features successful sales leaders, marketers, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs who will inspire you with their success stories. Each episode is packed with practical strategies as our guests share their secrets to achieving their dreams. Listen in to learn the highlights of their remarkable accomplishments and get tips to revamp, rework, and reimagine your business. Whether you're a small business owner, a marketer, or aspiring entrepreneur, the Conquer Local podcast is your ultimate guide to dominating your local market. Tune in now to take your business to the next level. I'm Jeff Tomlin, and on this episode, we're pleased to welcome the one and only Seth Green. Seth is the CEO of East Fifth Avenue and has founded four successful businesses, including a direct response marketing agency that landed in the Inc. 5000 fastest growing company list. He's the nation's foremost authority on growing your business with 50 dream affiliates that promote your business every week for a year. He's a co-host of Sharkpreneur podcast with Shark Tank's Kevin Harrington, which was named the number 6 business podcast to listen to. He's a 9-time best-selling author who's been interviewed on NBC News, CBS News, Forbes, CBS Money Watch, and many, many more. So get ready, Conquerors, for Seth Green coming up next on this week's episode of the Conquer Local podcast. Seth Green, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on the Conquer Local podcast. How are you doing today, sir?
I am fantastic. The pleasure is all mine. It is an honor to be here. I am super excited.
Hey, well, when we kick off here, I just wanted to give a quick thanks for you. I know you're a busy guy, and we appreciate you taking some time to join us here in the podcast. You know, I have you for a very short period of time, so I think I've got a checklist of things I just want to hammer through to try to squeeze out as much of your knowledge into the short 20 minutes that we have to chat. But, you know, you've got a long and storied background in direct response marketing. And I wanted to maybe start there and just have you talk a little bit how you got into it and, you know, what that journey looked like a little bit and how you see that space has changed over the years.
I'm happy to share. I'll try and do it as quick, the bio part, as quickly as possible. I went to college many decades ago for musical theater. I wanted to be a Broadway star at the age of 18. My father gave me such a hard time every semester about the high cost of the school I went to that by the time I graduated, I had created a separate degree program that didn't exist at the time in college financial aid negotiation because I wanted to help other families avoid what I went through. And I went to work for a Fortune 500 company before the internet that said, here's a phone book, make 300 cold calls a day and go get them. And I absolutely hated that. A couple years later, I had the good fortune to get connected to legendary marketing guru, Dan Kennedy. I had to borrow more than the mortgage on my first house with myself and my wife to go get to work with Dan. Thank God it worked. There were 6,700 advisors at that firm. I was dead last. And in 2 years of working with Dan, I was in the top 30 nationwide, competing against people who had been in business twice as long as I had even been alive. That got me written about in every trade journal in financial services. Advisors started calling me out of the yellow pages going, how do we do what you did? Dan said, you start a marketing company and do it for them. So we started a marketing company in financial services 17 years ago. And I found that the principles of direct response marketing I learned worked no matter what the industry was. So we soon branched out to 63 different industries. The firm has grown from just me to, you know, the Inc. 5000 list. And along the way, obviously, there's been the internet and social media and a whole lot of other forms of communication. We found ways to make direct response style marketing work in all of them. And it's been an incredible roller coaster journey.
Well, congrats on taking names and kicking ass for this many years and continuing to do so all the way down the line. You know, Seth, so as I pound through my list here, one of the big audiences that you have is you work a lot with digital marketing agencies. You've got the Million Dollar Digital Marketing Agency podcast program, and it helps agency owners scale and scale profitably. Maybe talk a little bit about that program and what the guts of it look like and its focus.
Absolutely. So that program came out of my own frustration. I was trying to make a name for myself in the industry. I was trying to get in front of impossible to reach high level decision makers and get them to take us seriously and get them to hire us. And what I figured out was I took Chet Holmes' Dream 100 strategy from 20 years ago. I brought it into the 21st century and added new technology to it. And our businesses took off. And it now is one of our flagship programs where we'll help either an agency owner or an affiliate, because we have a large presence in the affiliate marketing space as well through our company, East Fifth Avenue. And whether you're an agency owner or an affiliate, we help you get 50 centers, either your next 50 A-level clients or your next 50 dream centers of influence. So if I was a local agency owner, maybe there's a business attorney, a commercial mortgage broker, a commercial real estate attorney, a financial advisor, a business banker. They all see the same clients I want, but we don't compete with each other. So if I use that $1 million podcast authority program, I can get them all to think I'm their new best friend and get them to literally actively promote me to their client base every single week for a year. Works the same way in the affiliate marketing space as well. But I found one of the biggest struggles as an agency owner was getting in the door, getting them to perceive you as different and getting them to give you a chance and getting referrals from other centers of influence. And our program that starts with a podcast and then has an 82-step follow-up sequence is great for converting guests into raving fans, ambassadors, or affiliates for our agency clients or for their clients' brands.
Amazing. And I love strategies that have steps and playbooks that go along with them, because you can follow them and understand them. And you're the king at that. One of my last guests, we were talking on the topic of client retention. It's something that you also talk quite a bit about, and maybe share a little bit about on your program, how it helps agency owners maintain consistent cash flow and keep the clients that they have too, because that should be job number one for most businesses.
Absolutely. And again, born out of my own frustration, I would find clients that were getting great results with our program, but wouldn't renew their contracts. And I would say, you literally got results last week. You said you were happy. Why aren't you renewing? I'm bored. You know, clients are just like us. They get shiny object syndrome. They're like, I know it works. I just want to try something different. So I realized we had to prevent them from shopping other places. So part of our innovation strategy is to come up with something new, whether it's ours or something we offer through an amazing firm like Vendasta, every 90 days. So that they always see we're coming up with something new. We're always adding value. We're always coming up with something. What's next? So that way, they never end up spending any money anywhere else, because right when they're about to start thinking about it, we're hitting them with something new. I think that's a huge part of retention. I think the other part that I learned was communication. You have to be in front of your clients all the time, because Dan Kennedy taught me it's not their job to remember you. It's your job to make it impossible for them to forget you. And I don't want someone going, I had someone come in my office once and go, oh, my buddy opened this type of business. And I'm like, why didn't you refer him to us? Wasn't thinking about you. Totally forgot. Didn't have your business card handy. And I'm like, well, that's a crock. We've got to fix that and be in front of our clients all the time and doing things that go above and beyond. So we try and underpromise so we can underdeliver. We try and always surprise and delight. And we're trying to always send our clients like something in the mail that they're not expecting. Like every 2 weeks, they get something in the mail that's a surprise that isn't promotional for us. It's just a warm, fuzzy touch. It might be a gift. It might be a present. It might be something they're not expecting. They go, wow, that was so cool. Thank you so much. No one else takes care of me like you guys do.
I love that. And no one's expecting that either. So like that's amazing. We've thought about that at Vendasta here for some time, and what are the small things that we can do? But it's, and it doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be a small thing like that. But it has a disproportionate impact on your relationship when you surprise them with a little treat like that, hey?
Absolutely. And then when we figured out it worked, we built it into a system that has automations behind it, so we're not, stuffing a million boxes every month.
Yeah. I was having this chat with a gentleman at Corporate Visions, and I just got to thinking as you were describing this process of always coming up with a new thing and sending the new thing. when they were talking to clients and having renewal discussions, one of the things he said that was different, and this was Tim Reister at Corporate Visions, that's different when you're having renewal discussions, that you have to reinforce the status quo, where when you're signing somebody brand new, you have to disrupt their status quo. It's interesting the way that you're describing things, though. As you're keeping clients and you're having regular discussions, your status quo is, hey, you're the guy that's always bringing something new to the table, and other people aren't doing that. And I just think that works well together in those two trains of thought.
Absolutely. We've even had clients who have fired other marketing vendors to say, well, I haven't heard from them in a while. They're doing the same thing they've always done. I don't know how well it's working. You guys are always seem to be coming up with something new. I'm going to move more of my marketing dollars to you and hire you guys for other stuff.
Yeah. Hey, Seth, I wanted to talk to you about creating value. And you've got a thing where you think first value over price. And I was wondering if you could just expand on that a little bit and talk about how you think about putting value at the forefront.
Absolutely. So clients don't know how to price us. They don't know what we should cost. They only know in comparison to something else. We had someone the other day say, when we quoted the price, well, that's kind of high. They said, in comparison to what? And they didn't have an answer. Well, I don't know. It just seems high. And they said, yeah. Okay, is it high in comparison to the return of investment we're promising? Well, no, it's a drop in the bucket. I said, well, then there you go. So we sell on value. It's all about what is the end result the client is going to get. What is, let's say, their average lifetime first year value of their client? How many of them can we get them? What is that revenue stream? We should be a drop in the bucket. You know, we should be, you know, 10% of that, so that we're a no-brainer.
Yeah, I like that way of thinking, and always being able to quantify what you're delivering and being able to quantify the value on the other end, or being able to quantify your pain if you're talking about someone's pain point but quantifying it is always the important step, right?
Absolutely.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your Dream 50 program. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges for businesses is ensuring an ongoing stream of new business, because especially for those that are, you know, focused on growth, in order to grow, you have to be adding new business all the time. And so talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So our Dream 50 process is also part of the Million Dollar Agency program. It powers part of it. And the Dream 50 is all about, who are those Dream 50 ideal clients, the A-level folks that would make your month, or who are those Dream 50 influencers and micro evangelists in a target market, or national if you're not a local agency? So we built, again, a process for getting our client, our agency owner, our business in the door for a podcast interview, which is not perceived as salesy. And then we built as you heard, 82-step follow-up sequence that takes that person from, hey, Jeff, thanks so much for having me on my show, to, oh my God, Jeff, it's like your new best friend. What can I do to help you? And then we happen to have an answer for them, and we get them in a system that emails their list every single week, promotes their business, but takes our client along for the ride. So they're literally getting new leads, new business, new website traffic every single week and can track it.
Walk me back through the thinking, and through your experiences, what led you to develop the program? You put an awful lot of work into it, and it's quite the effort. So talk to me a little bit about the process and what brought you there.
Sure. So, and it's driven $150 million in revenue. So we know it works.
Oh, just.
And I came up with the process because this is about 10 years ago, I had interviewed 10 top-level marketers for a book I was writing. And these were folks who were like Madison Avenue ad agencies who handle the NFL or AT&T. So amazing marketing ad executives. And I put the book out, and the book did great. And I got business out of the book. And at the same time, I started listening to podcasts. And every podcast I listened to, the favorite ones I had were interview shows. And I said, oh my God, I just did 10 interviews. I wonder if I can toss this out as a podcast and see what happens. And so I did. I didn't know any better. The production quality was awful. Like, I didn't have an intro, I didn't have an outro, I didn't have sound. Like, you literally had a phone call. Like, you heard, Mr. Jones, are you there? Are you ready to do the interview? Like, the production was awful. But all of the initial reviews of that show are, if you can get past Green's awful production, the content's really good. Yeah. And I said, maybe we're onto something. And all of the people who I aired their podcast episode, some of them promoted it more than they did the book that they were in. And I said, oh my God, I think I'm onto something. So I went back to Chet Holmes' Ultimate Sales Machine. I pulled out the Dream 100 Best Buyer Strategy. And I said, I think if I use the podcast as the first touch point, I add direct mail and all these other steps that Chet did, I bring it into the 21st century and add some technology behind it, I could make this really work. I tested it on myself with those 10 people. Didn't work 100%. 8 of them went through the process, agreed to it, and started promoting us every single week. And I said, oh my God, I've got something here. Let's make sure it doesn't just work for me. We took a local golf coach through it, who ended up quitting his job at the country club and making more money in 3 months with the program we created for him than he previously made all year. And I said, okay, this works in a regular business. Now let's hire a team and offer it as a service. And that was like 12 years ago. It works so well, it spun off a whole separate company that's on the Inc. 5000.
It's amazing. Seth, you give me the impression there's a science to all of this stuff.
Well, there's art first, right? There's the idea and the inception, and then the art of crafting the messages and the copywriting and all the stuff that goes behind it. But ultimately, what I learned the hard way, when I started in marketing, I was, for lack of a better term, a marketing junkie. Every seminar I went to, every book I read, every video I watched was all about marketing, getting more business. And it was just me. And I made myself a giant mess. And then I realized there's more to this world than just getting customers. You actually have to keep them happy. You have to do what you promise, which means you need a team, unless you're solely, let's say, a Vendasta reseller, which is an awesome business model. You've got to have a team, and then you need a process. So I realized I needed systems to run the business because I was managing by Post-it note. I was managing by Excel sheet. Everything was in my head, and I kept making a giant mess and upsetting people because it was all in my head. So I said, we need to build an automated system that tells our team members what to do every day so I don't have to do it and we can scale, which with the help of a person I met at a traffic and conversion summit, Scott Palat, he helped me build a system that literally cloned me, supervises my team, tells them what to do every day on every client, make sure they get it right. And I don't have to micromanage the process anymore. And we've been scaling ever since.
It's not trivial either, creating systems. You know, as a software as a service company, you know, we've talked for, you know, a long time as we're growing that you have to build systems and that people can follow if you want to be a scalable company. And it's not trivial building those things. And oftentimes you have to revisit them and update them. It's a lot of work when these things coming together. So I appreciate all of the work that you've done in putting these things together. It doesn't only take a tremendous amount of knowledge, but a tremendous amount of effort to bring them all together and after they're proved out, right? If you had a couple of takeaways for the audience, what would they be?
I think the most important lesson I've learned in the last 17 years is who you are being affects how well what you do works. And it might sound like spiritual woo-woo, but it's absolutely true. If I come into work in a negative mood and a scarcity mindset and a terrible, all cranky and messed up, magically our marketing doesn't work as well. And clients don't hire us at the same rate. If I come in on top of the world, excited, ready for my day, passionate, ready to help people, magically that energy works and our marketing works better and our clients are happier, even if nothing else changes. So I have learned to spend more time working on myself and my personal and spiritual development, whether that's as a father, a husband, a leader, an entrepreneur. I just spent the last 4 days doing a Tony Robbins event. Like, and even though I've attended that event before, I got new distinctions because I'm in a different place than I was a couple of years ago the last time I attended it. So the more I would say it's not a cool marketing hack, but the more you work on yourself and you make yourself like this bigger vessel, your business will grow to meet the new person you are.
Oh, man. Seth, I love that takeaway. You know, there's a saying that I just reiterated to my last podcast guest that I think about a lot. And that saying is your clients will never be happier than you and your team. And
that's really good.
And it's true. It's true. So I completely buy into what you're saying. Seth, it's an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. If people wanted to continue the conversation with you and learn more about the entire world of Seth Green, where do they start? How do they get a hold of you?
Sure. So two different websites, eastfifthavenue.com, east5thavenue.com, and marketdominationllc.com.
You're an absolute encyclopedia of knowledge, especially in the realm of marketing and sales. It's an absolute pleasure having you on. I hope that you can come back and join us on the podcast again in the future, and we can continue the conversation.
This was a lot of fun. I would love to come back.
Hey, a very good luck to you in the future here, in the near future, and I hope you have a fantastic week, Seth.
You too.
Well, there you have it from the man himself. The first tip worth highlighting from our conversation is to provide exceptional value to your clients. Don't just focus on acquiring new clients, but prioritize keeping your existing clients happy. Go above and beyond with communication, service, and results, but be the one that is bringing new things to them. You know, this will not only prevent churn, but it'll also encourage referrals and positive word of mouth marketing. Now, the second tip is to promote your clients and build relationships with influencers. Identify your ideal clients, such as the A-listers, and develop a strategy to build relationships with them. Use your marketing efforts to promote their business and establish yourself as a trusted partner. This can lead to valuable referrals and a steady stream of new clients. If you've enjoyed Seth Green's episode discussing direct response marketing, revisit some of the older episodes from the archives. Check out episode 644, Scaling Global Brands to 10 Plus Figures Using Omnichannel Marketing. That's with Justin Brenner. Or episode 647, Leveraging the Lighthouse Strategy to Attract High-Profile Clients with Dennis Yu. Until next time, I'm Jeff Tomlin. Get out there and be awesome.
You've been listening to the Conquer Local podcast presented by Vendasta. Tune in next week for a new episode. Guest discovery and produced by Suleiman Adam. Marketing by Rory Lawford, Brandon Moore, and Suleiman Adam. Executive producers Brendan King, Jeff Tomlin, and Suleiman Adam. Recorded at Vendasta headquarters on the Canadian prairies.